Well, good to see you people here this morning. God's given me a very important message for us today. And our scripture reading for this morning will be taken from Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 45, where we read of the Lord Jesus suddenly appearing out of thin air among his disciples, who were still huddled together in shock and disbelief about the events of his recent death by crucifixion. After they recovered from the terror of his sudden appearance among them, Jesus questioned them as to why they were so upset and troubled about what had happened to him. And so he reminded them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." And then in verse 45, the Bible tells us, "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." This morning I want to continue on in our series entitled All Things Must Be Fulfilled, and this will be part 6. Seeing as how it is now a couple of weeks since I presented part 5 in the series, let's briefly refresh our memories about what it was in particular that we were focusing our attention upon that the Lord Jesus said must be fulfilled as a sign or a prelude to his second coming. Things that we see taking place in our day that I believe we should be taking very serious notice of. We read in Luke chapter 21 where the Lord Jesus was answering the questions that his disciples had asked him about the prophesied destruction of the Jewish temple in Jerusalem, in which the Matthew 24 rendering of the same event includes the question, "What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" In Luke 21, verses 5 to 11, we read, "And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, As for these things which ye behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, Take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. For these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then he said unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. Skipping down now to verse 28 we read, And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us this morning as I present this message, that he'll give us understanding and knowledge about the things that he's given me to speak about today, and that we will understand, that the Holy Spirit will help us to understand how they relate to what's happening to us today and the things that are important to us. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for giving us your word that leads us as a light in a very dark place, Lord. And as we see things taking place around us today that are a worry to most people, Lord, we pray that you help us, Lord, to understand how these things fit with your plan and your message to us, Lord, that all things must be fulfilled in order for your second coming to take place, Lord. Help us to grasp what it is you want to speak to us today, and that we will be wise and understanding, Lord, about the things that are going on, and not be in fear as the unbelievers, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In part 4 in the series, I went into detail about how I believed that the Lord's prophecy in Luke 21 and verse 10 of nations rising in warfare against other nations was in reality referring to ethnic groups rising violently against other ethnic groups, a situation that we see emerging today, particularly in America, and fast spreading to other countries throughout the world, where diverse racial groups are living in close proximity with each other. I pointed out that the word translated as nation in Luke 21 prophecy is derived from the Greek word ethnos, from which we get our English word ethnic. The Black Lives Matter movement in America has taken centre stage in the nation's politics, using anarchy and violence as a way of promoting their critical race theory and their racially divisive white supremacy propaganda, which are now being taught and promoted in every facet of Western society, particularly in the education systems, which include all grade levels in virtually all of the government schools and in most universities throughout the lands. The Black Lives Matter political movement is being exploited by left-wing, socialist-leaning political parties in America, people who aim to introduce the one-world government, which the Bible prophesies will be in power internationally during the seven-year Great Tribulation period, led by the Antichrist. Today I want to take a closer look at verse 11 of Luke 21, where we read the prophecy that great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights and signs, and great signs shall there be from heaven. Particularly I want to focus upon the Lord's warning regarding pestilences, because I believe that something very important is revealed about this word that perhaps also has something to do with the Greek word ethnos, which we've discovered directly relates to the quickly escalating ethnic division and hatred that is taking place today, not just among the ethnic Arabs and Muslim tribes of the Middle Eastern countries like Afghanistan and Iraq, for example, but on a global scale, including all of the Western nations like America, Great Britain, and here in Australia. Based upon what I've been taught over the last 40 years by various Bible teachers of various religious persuasions, I've always related the Lord's prophecy about the end time sign of pestilences to mean something like plagues of locusts blotting out the sunlight, or plagues of rats overrunning the countryside and getting in everyone's houses, eating all the available food, like what happened in Egypt when God poured out his 10 plagues upon Pharaoh and the Egyptians. After prayerfully studying the topic a little further in recent times, however, I've come to some different conclusions. Let's examine the Greek word that's been translated into English as pestilences in our King James Bible and see what you think. According to the Strong's Greek Dictionary, the English word pestilences is derived from the Greek word loimos, which it defines as a plague, literally a disease, or figuratively a pest, as in a pestilence. Take careful notice that Strong's Greek Dictionary says that the Greek word loimos literally means a disease, but that figuratively it can also mean a pest or a pestilence. Taking the literal meaning of it, representing a disease, rather than some plague of animal or insect, I decided to research further. I found that the American Tract Society Dictionary tells us that, quote, "The word pestilence or plague in the Hebrew tongue, as in most others, expresses all sorts of distempers and calamities. The Hebrew word, which properly signifies the plague, is extended to all epidemical and contagious diseases." The prophets generally connect together the sword, the pestilence, and the famine as three evils which usually accompany each other. The glandular plague, which in modern times has proved so fatal in the East, is the most virulent and contagious of diseases. In the 14th century, it overran Europe, Asia, and Africa, and 25 million are estimated to have died of it within 3 years. Like the Asiatic cholera, it is one of the most appalling scourges sin has brought on this world, and may, in this point of view, correspond with the plagues referred to in the Bible. End of quote. So rather than indicating something like locusts or mice in plague proportions, the American Tract Society Dictionary tells us that the word pestilence actually refers to epidemical and contagious diseases, and it gives examples of virus plagues that have killed untold millions of people down through history. Perhaps this might cause the more inquisitive types among us to think that maybe the Chinese Communist Party coronavirus plague, taking place in this late stage of human history, which God calls the time of the end in the book of Daniel, has some relevance or application to this prophecy in Luke 21:11 that tells us that pestilences or epidemical and contagious diseases will be a sign of the Lord's close return. It did me. And as a further endorsement of my suspicions about this, as an application of the meaning of the word pestilences in Luke 21:11, the 1913 edition of the Webster's Revised Unabridged Dictionary explained the words pestilences as used in the King James Bible as, quote, specifically the disease known as the plague, hence any contagious or infectious epidemic disease that is virulent and devastating, end of quote. How about, say, any contagious or infectious epidemical disease that is virulent and devastating, like perhaps the current COVID-19 virus? If we're forewarned by the Lord to look for pestilence as a sign of his nearness, and that word pestilence actually means any contagious or infectious epidemic disease that is virulent and devastating, then perhaps this current pandemic is the initial stage of what he is prophesying. What do you think? But how could this prophecy of a pestilence, as in an infectious viral epidemic in the days leading up to the return of Christ, be in any way related to the prophecy that different populations of people will rise up against each other in deadly warfare, based upon ethnos, in other words, based upon their ethnicity? In the August 20, 2019 edition of the Guardian newspaper, an article was published entitled Bioweapons Designed to Kill Only People of Particular Race. Quoting directly from the article, we read the following, quote, Cambridge University warns that the world must prepare for biological weapons that target ethnic groups based on genetics. Scientists warn that humans should be worried about being wiped out by a killer pathogen that is specifically designed to kill people of only a particular race based on their genetic material or their DNA. A new report from Cambridge University Centre for the Study of Existential Risk says that world governments have failed when it comes to preparing against threats like futuristic bioweapons powered by artificial intelligence and genetic manipulation. Such weapons would have the power to target specific DNA and kill certain races of people, leaving only swathes of population unharmed. A biological weapon is any infectious agent, such as bacteria, virus, or toxin, which is used intentionally to inflict bodily harm to people, animals, or nature. They can be used to cause massive casualties, social disruption, economic losses, and environmental problems as a means of warfare or terrorism. Biological weapons are difficult to handle after release because they are infectious agents that spread uncontrollably beyond the target area. Rapid scientific developments and the possible misuse of scientific achievements to create biological weapons makes this an area of growing concern for the disarmament community. End of quote. That article was published just over 2 years ago, and just a couple of months prior to the manufactured and weaponized virus emerging from a laboratory in Wuhan in China, which continues to spread death and mayhem across the entire world today. The article warned that rogue nations now have the ability to design a virus which will specifically target people based upon their ethnicity. But what nation's government would be so diabolically evil as to do such a wicked thing? That's a good question. On Thursday, May 14, 2020, that's 18 months ago, an article appeared in the Washington Times newspaper entitled China Deception Fuels Fears of Biological Weapons Ethnic Experiments. Well, imagine that, just like we read in the article from August 2019. Quoting directly from this Washington Post article, we read, quote, Chinese government deception regarding the coronavirus outbreak is raising new fears about Beijing's biological weapons activities, including population-specific research on germ warfare capable of attacking ethnic groups, according to current and former US officials. A senior Trump administration official told the Washington Times that China is known to be engaged in a covert program that includes development of biological weapons capable of attacking ethnic groups with pathogens. We are looking at potential biological experiments on ethnic minorities, the official said, on the condition of anonymity. Details about the activities were obtained from sources with direct knowledge of the Chinese programs and are contained in intelligence reports that may be declassified for public release in the future. The official said China's response to the COVID-19 outbreak has been heightened concerns about its secret biological weapons work. Beijing hid early indicators of how infectious the coronavirus was and delayed warning the world. Reading on, the article says, "We continue to have concerns with China's BWC compliance as well as their international obligations," the official said, referring to the Biological and Toxin Weapons Convention, an international treaty that prohibits the development and production of biological agents. If we've learned nothing else through this COVID episode, it's that China cannot be trusted to do the right thing. China signed the Biological Weapons Treaty in 1984, and more than 100 other countries have joined. Article 5 requires signatories to consult one another and to cooperate in solving any problems related to the biological threats. End of quote. So, unless for some reason we are willing to disregard the obvious evil intentions of the Chinese Communist Party and their virology scientists towards any ethnic group that is not Chinese, then I think it would be prudent for us to take note of the abundance of the available evidence, and we should heed the declarations that the Chinese government has openly professed with its own mouth that it is working tirelessly towards exterminating all other ethnic groups on the planet. Early last year, in 2020, I distributed an article to my email list which included the text of a speech presented in December 2005 by a Chinese general named Chi Huaishan, who at that time was the vice chairman of China's military commission. The speech was addressed to top officers and generals of the Chinese Communist Party. In his speech, Chi Huaishan openly declared that China was working on developing biological weapons in the form of engineered and weaponized viruses that could be used against their enemies. The Chinese Communist Party has been openly stating for years that they intend to use viruses as weapons, particularly against America. These chilling threats have been in the public domain for years, and General Huaishan's speech in December 2005 is but one example of that. Let me quote some of the alarming statements that the Chinese general made, which openly discussed and recommended using biological viral warfare not only against America, but also against other Western nations, and even accepting the death of millions of their own countrymen as acceptable collateral damage in achieving their evil goals. Listen to what the leaders of the Chinese Communist Party proposed back in 2005. Now, I'm going to be quoting a fair bit here from this speech by this Chinese general. Quote, "Western countries established colonies all around the world, therefore giving themselves an advantage on the issue of living space. To solve this problem, we must lead the Chinese people into going outside of China so that they can develop outside of China. Only countries like the United States, Canada and Australia had the vast land to serve our needs for mass colonization. Therefore, solving the issue of America, the issue of America, in inverted commas, is the key to solving all other issues. First, this makes it possible for us to have many people migrate there and even establish another China under the same leadership of the Chinese Communist Party. We, the descendants of the Chinese nation, are entitled to the possession of the land. It is our historical destiny that China and the United States will come into unavoidable confrontation on a narrow path and fight. In the long run, the relationship of China and the United States is one of a life and death struggle. Only by using special means to clean up America, clean up in inverted commas, only by using special means to clean up America will we be able to lead the Chinese people there. Only by using non-destructive weapons that can kill many people will we be able to reserve America for ourselves." Still quoting the article we read, "There has been rapid development of modern biological technology, and new biological weapons have been invented, one after another. Of course, we have not been idle. In the past years, we have seized the opportunity to master weapons of this kind. We are capable of achieving our purpose of cleaning up America all of a sudden." When Comrade Xi Jinping was still with us, The Party Central Committee had the discernment to make the right decision not to develop aircraft carrier groups and focus instead on developing lethal weapons that can eliminate mass populations of the enemy country. Biological weapons are unprecedented in their ruthlessness, but if the Americans do not die, then the Chinese have to die. If the Chinese people are strapped to the present land, a total societal collapse is bound to take place. Reading on, according to the computations of the author of Yellow Peril, more than half of the Chinese will die, and that figure would be more than 800 million people. Just after the liberation, our Yellow Land supported nearly 500 million people, while today the official figure of the population is more than 1.3 billion. This Yellow Land has reached the limit of its capacity. One day, who knows how soon, it will come. The great collapse will occur any time, and more than half of the population will have to go. It is indeed brutal to kill 1 or 200 million Americans, but that is the only part that will secure the Chinese century, a century in which the Chinese Communist Party leads the world. End of quote. Now, in my opinion, only people who are willingly ignorant and deceived would not take heed to this threat. It is a specific warning issued nearly two decades ago, heralding the worldwide viral pandemic that we have observed taking place during the last 2 years. If the Chinese government stated in 2005 that they are developing and testing biological weapons to depopulate other countries, with the express intention of invading them when they are in a weakened condition, and then repopulating them with their own ethnic group of people, and then in 2019 there appears on the global stage of history a COVID-19 pandemic originating from China, which is killing millions of people, then I don't know of any sensible reason why we should not believe that the Chinese government are purposefully responsible for this man-made disaster. Let's give credit where credit is due. Amen? China has a history of involvement in viral epidemics. In 1957, the Asian flu came out of China. In 1968, there was the Hong Kong flu. In 1997, it was the avian or bird flu. In 2002, 2003, it was the SARS flu. Early in 2019, it was the swine flu. And then later in 2019, it was the COVID-19 flu. Make of that what you will, but there is much factual information available for those with the interest and energy to go looking to establish with certainty that the COVID-19 pandemic currently sweeping the world is intentional, and it is well on the way to accomplishing its intended and publicly stated purposes. It's not my intention during this message to delve into all the details of all the people and organisations that make up those who are either intentionally or unintentionally in liaison with the Chinese Communist Party in this diabolical strategy of world dominance. But I will just mention a couple of people, such as Bill Gates, Anthony Fauci, and the World Health Organisation, along with most of the big-name pharmaceutical companies on the planet, which are raking in untold billions of dollars through the sales of their untested and unproven so-called vaccines. Let me just briefly point out, though, that these brutally evil people and so-called health providers have proven the Bible to be faithful and true once again. For we read in 1 Timothy 6, verses 9 and 10, that they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which ground men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil, the Bible tells us. Rather than get sidetracked with all the players involved in this current pandemic, however, I want us to continue our focus on the question I asked earlier, which was, how would the prophecy in Luke 21, verses 10 and 11, which speaks of an infectious viral epidemic in the days leading up to the return of Christ, how might this current pandemic in any way be related to the prophecy of ethnic groups rising up against each other in deadly warfare? I think we've established that the evidence speaks for itself as to what the Chinese Communist Party are up to with regard to viruses, and that it is ethnically related. They are developing viruses that will be tailored to attack specific ethnic groups, However, I want to develop this a bit further to see how what we've already discovered might be related to some of the other prophecies in the book of Revelation, which will strengthen our case. Quoting from a February 2021 article published by the National Counterintelligence and Security Center in America, we read, quote, "For years, the People's Republic of China, the PRC, has collected large healthcare data sets from the US and nations around the globe through both legal and illegal means. China illegally exploits data from American medical records to obtain DNA identification patterns for much of the US population. The US government has worked with genetic testing companies tied to China in its pandemic response, potentially disclosing large quantities of American healthcare data to the communist nation. The People's Republic of China views bulk personal data, including healthcare and genomic data, that is DNA, as a strategic commodity to be collected and used for its economic and national security priorities. Genomic data is a broad term referring to your entire genetic sequence, all your DNA. The People's Republic of China is investing heavily in the biotech revolution and has enacted national policies prioritizing the collection of healthcare data both at home and abroad to achieve its goal of becoming a global biotech leader. It has designed biotech as a strategic emerging industry and prioritized state support for its biotech industry in national plans. The People's Republic of China understands the collection and analysis of large genomic data sets from diverse populations helps foster new medical discoveries and cures that can have substantial commercial value and advance its artificial intelligence and precision medicine industries." End of quote. There is no doubt that the Chinese government intends to develop a contagious and deadly virus, which will be able to target specific ethnic groups, which are standing in the way of their agenda of global control and dominance. In other words, there will be ethnic groups rising against other ethnic groups, or nations rising against nations, as prophesied in Luke 21:10. And that is a sign that the Lord Jesus told his followers to be looking for, as a sign of his near return. And they are an integral part of the Lord's proclamation that all things must be fulfilled. Of particular relevance to this subject of ethnic-based viruses and who is responsible for them, I want us to turn to Revelation chapter 9, where we read about one-third of mankind being killed by fire and smoke and brimstone. And then in verses 20 and 21, we read about what happens to the survivors. Reading verses 20 and 21 of Revelation chapter 9, we are told that the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Take note that God mentions specifically that these people are murderers. They are involved in sorcery, whatever that means. They are sexually immoral, and they are thieves. Turn with me now to Revelation chapter 18, and we'll read verses 21 through to 24, which prophesies the destruction of the corrupt commercial Babylon. Reading from verse 21, "And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by their sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that was slain upon the earth." In this prophecy of the coming destruction of commercial Babylon, which has association with the religious Babylon, the Antichrist and the coming world government, we see that the great and important men of the earth are merchants. They're businessmen, who are involved in making vast sums of money through merchandise. But in this prophecy, we see that their merchandise was also somehow associated with putting to death the followers of God. And not only God's followers, the Bible believers, but they were also responsible for the death of all other people who were slain upon the earth, apparently. You might notice in verse 23 of the scripture we just read that it mentions that these filthy rich merchants were involved in sorcery. And it was by their sorcery that they deceived all the nations. Not just some of the nations, all of the nations, it says. In Revelation chapter 9 and verse 21, which we read a moment ago, you see that God accuses these people too of being involved in murder and theft and sorcery. When I think of sorcery, I imagine some primitive witch doctor in the jungle somewhere casting evil spells upon people or chanting and calling up demonic spirits and that sort of thing. Similar to what those founding leaders of the Black Lives Matter movement say they do in casting spells and calling up the spirits of the dead relatives for spiritual guidance. I think most people do think of the word sorcery in this way. Typically, it has something to do with false religion and demon worship, is what I've always been led to believe. And I think we can all be excused for believing that about the word sorcery, because if we go to Acts chapter 8 and have a look at verses 9 to 11, we see an example of the use of the word sorcery and what it represents. In Acts chapter 8, verses 9 to 11, it reads, "But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in that same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, This man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries." According to Strong's Greek dictionary, the Greek word translated here to sorcery is magio, which literally means to practice magic, to use sorcery. So therefore, in our two scriptures that we just read in Revelation chapter 9 and chapter 19, where we are told that these rich merchants, robbing, murdering and deceiving the people of God, not to mention the rest of the populations of the earth as well, with their sorceries, it must mean that they were deceiving the people with magic and false religion. Or does it? I think we should take a closer look, and perhaps you will be as amazed as I was with what I discovered about this word sorcery in the two references in Revelation that are pertinent to my message regarding ethnically specific viruses, and perhaps you will also be amazed at how accurately these references picture what is taking place upon the earth in this historical period, so close to the end of the church age. The Greek word translated as sorcery in the two references in Revelation is a different Greek word from the one used in the book of Acts, and has absolutely nothing to do with magic or magicians, like Simon the sorcerer, or those ladies from the Black Lives Matter movement. Referring to my Strong's Greek dictionary again, I discovered that the Greek word translated as sorcery in these two scriptures from the book of Revelation is pharmakeia, which means medication. It's where we get our English word pharmacy from, like as in a chemist shop, where we take our doctor's prescription to buy our medication. Now, just to be fair to all the Bible commentators and linguists who have interpreted pharmakeia as witchcraft and magic, Strong's Greek dictionary does continue on to say, quote, "By extension, pharmakeia can be translated to mean magic, literally or figuratively, sorcery or witchcraft," end of quote. However, reading our two prophecies in the book of Revelation in context, I believe that we are being informed by the Lord that as signs we are to look for with regard to his prophesied return, there will be wars and rumours of wars, just like we see happening today. There will be ethnic groups violently rising against other ethnic groups, seeking to destroy them, just like we see happening today. And one or more of those ethnic groups will develop pestilences as their weapons of choice, not of rats and locusts, but instead their weapons will be plagues or pandemics of contagious and infectious viral diseases. The people responsible for all this murder and mayhem will be God-rejecting murderers who have absolutely no regard for human life, particularly the lives of people who serve and honour the God of heaven and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. They will seek to destroy anyone who is not submitted to their particular group, with pharmakeia, or to put it more plainly, with their pharmaceuticals or medications. I don't know about you, but all this sounds to me to be a bit like what's going on around the entire world today. We're watching the beginnings of what the Lord tells us must be fulfilled according to the prophecies of Scripture. The merchants and great men of the earth are the filthy rich socialist, one world government promoters, who are in company with their network of supporters in Big Pharma, the left-wing news media, and other associated industries. They are evil men and seducers who are driven by a lust for fame and wealth, deceiving the world with their so-called vaccines, which have been manufactured supposedly to give immunity and protection against a disease, which they actually produce themselves in their own laboratories. However, the Lord is exposing all of this current coronavirus pandemic as a man-made deception, and the people behind it will be held responsible by God for their part in the shedding of the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all that was slain upon the earth. I say praise the Lord that he has given us the great privilege to be alive during this very special time in the history of mankind. That particular time, which the prophet Daniel was told about when he asked the angel to reveal to him the meaning of all that he had been told, and which he had written in the book. In the book of Daniel, chapter 12, and verses 8 to 10, we read that the things which Daniel was told by the angel were not for his understanding, but they were written and recorded for our admonition, we, the generation of God's people, who live in that specific historic period of human history known as the time of the end. Or as the Apostle Paul describes our generation in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11, we upon whom the ends of the world are come. In Daniel chapter 12 verses 8 to 10 we read, "And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." Do you understand what the Lord is revealing to us in these scriptures today? Our wisdom and understanding is not in and of ourselves, but God has given us his Holy Spirit to help us understand these events that are taking place, knowing that Jesus said all things must be fulfilled according to the scriptures. And let's not focus upon these events we've spoken of with gloom and doom in our hearts, but with excitement, knowing that our blessed Redeemer is close at hand. Paul reminds us in Romans 13:11 that it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Let's close this morning with Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 15-23, where Paul prayed specifically for us. Reading from verse 15, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." As we purpose in our hearts to live for the Lord Jesus this coming week, and be a faithful witness and testimony for him, let's also remember that none of these current events that are taking place in society are a surprise or a threat to God and his purposes, and neither should they be a surprise or a threat to us, we who have believed his word, the scriptures, and who have had the eyes of our understanding enlightened by the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Amen. Let's pray and give thanks to the Lord and ask him to bless us this coming week and help us to shine as lights in this very dark and wicked time that is descending upon the whole of society. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this message. And help us, Lord, we pray, as you've told us, that by your Holy Spirit you've opened the eyes of our understanding. Help us to understand, Lord, the wicked things that are going on are not something that's out of your control, Lord, but they are things that must come to pass for your second coming to happen, Lord. And we as Christians, as we see all these terrible things taking place, Lord, help us to understand that we're not to be fearful and confused about these things, Lord, but we're to look to you, Lord, and keep our minds and our hearts fixed on you. And you tell us, Lord, that you will give us perfect peace. And we thank you, Lord, that as we watch the events taking place in society that are going to be a fear to the general populations, Lord, that you told us that we have no need to fear, Lord, that we can trust in you and look to you, Lord, and as you tell us in your word, to look up and lift up our heads, because our redemption draweth nigh, and we look forward to that day when we stand face to face before you. In Jesus' name, amen.